This is a Pinball News production.
You know, I got hooked on some of the older solid states when I was in college and put a lot of money into them. So then I got into collecting and I started a project where I was trying to save play fields, and it was trying to get the heat out of the machine. I started playing with LEDs, and then it took off from there because no one was making them specifically for pinball. You could buy one type from one vendor, they work in Gottlieb, or you buy one type from another, they work in Williams. They wouldn't all work in all machines. They all had different, didn't have the right colors, didn't have the right stuff to make everything work properly. Like I said, 5 years ago, first machine I purchased was a Adams Family. Imagine that, you know, there's only 20,000 of them out there. Currently I work as a engineer, rocket scientist, so imagine what you could do with that. I actually don't scramjets, stuff like that. Do stuff for the government. You know, mostly blow stuff up. So, but I specialize like straight out of Star Trek. So, stuff you know I worked on for the last 5 years I can't talk about. Main reason I got into pinball is because my kids aren't going to know what pinballs are if I didn't do it. You know, there's barely any out in locations where we're at. You know, I really like pinball. I like video. I'm just one of those kids of the, you know, 80s that really got into all of it. You know, even though I was a jock in high school, I'm not, you know, computer geek now. So talk about a switch. Also trying to, you know, get people still into it as a hobby. You know, I have a lot of my neighbors who really say, they still have pinballs out there? So they come to my basement and see my 15 pinballs set up, and they're like, wow, it looks like a game room from the old time. Getting to what I started doing, you know, with LEDs, I started playing around with it, trying to find the best way to preserve the machines. The main thing that kills the machines, the heat, you know, over-amperage of the GIs, pool, you know, the boards aren't getting any younger. Yes, you can buy repro boards. They don't all work the same for all games, so I was trying to find a way to preserve them, so I thought LEDs was the way to go. And again, with my experience starting 4 years ago with what was out there, yes, they're just standard automotive LEDs. That's kind of what pushes the market for that. But they don't actually work well in pinball, since the way they design pinball machines, they're not all built equal with how they, you know, voltage. Key things with LEDs, it keeps the heat out, keeps them cleaner because now you don't have the rubber soot blowing around because it gets convected into the inserts and stuff like that. Doesn't get, you know, your smoke burns on your trans lights in the back from all that dirt going through there. You know, it takes about 90% of the heat out. When you're still in the game, it's cold now instead of, you know, taking up 2 extra amps of power from every machine that you would have in your house. And that keeps the plastics nice because you're not heating up the plastics. You know, that's what kills the machine is the heat. It just starts yellowing them earlier, you know, stuff like that. And the best thing about the LEDs is you can actually bring out the color that, you know, the artist really wanted you to see. It's not washed out with the incandescent white that puts a yellow and makes it really dingy, you know. You really get the purples out, you get the blues out, you get the greens. They really come out the way the artist would want you to see it for, you know, it's what they put their time in. As you can see, you know, LEDs only put out light in a certain spectrum. They're not like dealing with an incandescent bulb, which puts out a rainbow of colors. So when you put it under an insert, you know, an incandescent bulb has enough of each band of spectrum of that rainbow to push through that light. With an LED, it's not the same thing. It's like a laser. It only puts out in that one spectrum, but a lot more light. As you can see, some little rocket science humor here. So in the spectrums. And you can see that, you know, warm light, even with an LED, is not an incandescent bulb. It still only puts out certain spikes of light to make it look incandescent. It doesn't put out the whole rainbow, so it's still not the same. I mean, the key thing in a machine is to try to match the colors with the LED. If you don't, you're not going to get good results. It's going to distort the colors. It's, you know, you put a super white, or what I call cool white. There's all different terms everybody uses for them, but it's like a real bright white. It's like a 10,000 degree light. So it's like an incandescent, like a fluorescent bulb. You put that under a yellow, it'll turn it green, which to me looks like crap. You want to do it right. You have to match the colors. And each, you know, each game has its own color scheme. You know, you have your blue, green, red game, blue, green, purple games. You have your red, orange, yellow games. So if you don't match the colors right, you distort the game, and it doesn't look that well. As you can see here in the film, I have the different whites to try to demonstrate the different colors of whites that are out there, the ones I got designed trying to get the whites to match 44s, 5, you know, and 47s. You know, on the right, you have the true, you know, cool white bulbs, that, you know, super white bulbs that they sell. It distorts it, makes a bluish tint, which for some games, it's great. Other games, not so great. And then you go move over, and then you have the first level warm white, which you got to love digital cameras. They don't really capture the color properly, how your eye would perceive it. So you actually see the green tint of the first level warm white. And then the next two are the two levels of warm white, which match a 44 and 47 exactly with the color. So some games I like to use that to, because you still want that incandescent look. Other games you want to go with the warm, you know, get the brightest white, pure white that you can get. And you can see on the Monster Bash, it does have the bright, you know, colors matching the inserts, trying to bring out the colors. But again, the cameras don't the new CDC cameras can't capture the image properly. This is the game that brought me to Chicago 4 years ago. Rob saw it, and we had it set up at York. It was the first game I fully LED'd. It's not the first game I LED'd, but it's one I replaced every bulb with ones that we designed that first year 4 years ago. It makes that game playable. You know, it brings out the theme of that game. It, you know, you can see the incandescent bulbs on the right side where it has the yellow, you know, dingy, but it's a sci-fi-ish game, so the blue tinted bulbs really brings out, you know, what that game was supposed to be. And it lights up the back. You actually see the ball track around in the back, and you actually can play that game and make it, you know, it's actually a fun game for $1,000. You can find one. And this is showing how you can light up Translite right. You know, on the right or on the left, you have the incandescent bulbs. On the right, using the right whites, you can bring out the colors of that Translite and really see the way, you know, the purples and blues should have been, you know, displayed. It's not washed out with the yellow incandescents of, you know, bulbs. Yeah, the key things with LEDs, it shows, you know, you can get the true colors of the inserts or pop bumper caps, you know, bring the true colors of the trans lights through. You can customize your game to however you want your game to look. It's, you know, everybody has a perception how they want their game to be. So you can say, I want this color here because you think that's going to look better. You know, that's the key thing about this hobby. You can do it the way you want it to see it. So the colors actually make it your own. When we make the lenses, you know, not every LED is created equal how it emits the light out of the, you know, bulb, because every LED does it different ways. So that's why we have different lenses, different ways we frost it to. We try to get as close to an incandescent, you know, bulb and how the light comes out, but they're not all created equal. We're getting close. You know, I have some bulbs that are just, they look perfect. You know, with light output, they're actually a lot brighter. But key thing is we try to get the lenses to use the most economical bulb to get the best results. And that, you could do that through lenses.
It's a matrix bulb.
Matrix bulb is a bulb that would have multiple LEDs on it to go out different directions. It's like, you know, a configuration where you have one on the top and four around, or you have multiple trees, and it just takes advantage of smaller LEDs to emit the light 360 degrees around. You know, it was one way we could do it 4 years ago with what was there. Now with some of the LEDs I've got, I have them designing, you can actually get it, that same amount of light output with one LED now if you tweak it right and not burn it up. You see all the different colors you can have with an LED. Currently I have 14 different colors. The only color I can't figure out how to match is the one that's in South Park with the brown insert. It's just, when I saw that one, I still can't figure out how to really light that well. But as you can see on the right-hand side, I have the different types of bulbs you would have. With the one LED type that I'm working on, the far left has the brightest one I make now. It's actually about 3 to 4 times brighter than an incandescent bulb, and it actually gives off light all 360 degrees once you do it right. The one on the far left, white, is original one LED bulbs, which put out maybe 0.2 watts of light, which is about 90% of an incandescent bulb. And down below, you can see the flashers I've been working with over the last 3 years, where you have the 5 LED, cluster. Down the new 906s I'm working on have the 9s, which technically are exact same shape, size, and length, and everything to match 906 when it fits in there. And it gives off exactly the same amount of light once it flashes. Summing up what we're trying to do, we're just trying to preserve the games and make them look good, preserve the boards, preserve the plastics, and I think LEDs is the way to go with this. That's why I've been, hard at trying to make them work as best they can in the machines, because, again, every game is different in how they deal with different circuits in the machines, between the Baileys and the Gottliebs and the System 11s and stuff like that, with the flasher circuits doing different voltages. So you can't just use off-the-shelf LEDs. We try to make them emulate the incandescent bulbs and how they operate as best we can. I think right now we have some of our bulbs that are very close. But you're not going to get it perfect. It's not economically feasible to make it exact. But again, as we said, prove the colors and extend the life of the games, because, again, they're not making any more right now. So what we have is what we have. So you can come see our demo machines, and I explain in a little more details, different things on a personal level, how I would do the machines. You can see with the creature here, this goes, it brings out the colors and makes it how I would say, the artist wanted to see the colors. It's a neon game. So, but any questions or? Go ahead.
So what about electromechanical?
They should work fine. The way the bulbs are set up, they are full AC, the ones I sell for those. Full bridges, full caps, everything, trying to emulate it the best we can. Capcom detects amperage in the machines. I haven't got a hold of one yet. I can't afford every game in the world. So I try to, it works like a diesel truck. Some of the trucks used to do, check the amperage to see if the bulbs burn out and tell you. And it's basically what the software does on there, and it turns it off. Pinball 2000 does the same thing, but it leaves the bulb on and still puts the power through the circuit. Well, again, I've been doing it for 4 years. I've been trying to make it emulate exactly what an incandescent bulb does. So I put more components in there, caps, bridges, trying to get the power output better than what it is, trying to get the lens right to get the light so you don't have to use all these different bulbs. I'm trying to get to the point where one bulb solves it all. And I think I'm close, but you still need to play around with which ones go which ways. And plus, when the manufacturers, again, all the tooling for LEDs is in China. If anybody tells you anything, I've searched to try to keep it as a U.S. product, and you can't. I've been through 15 manufacturers. I've worked with 3. I'm down to 2 that do exactly the specs that I want for light output, colors, putting the components in, tweaking to optimize them for pinball. So they're not sized just for 15 milliamps, whatever. I'm trying to get the most out of the little bulb to make them work better. Because I know, measuring the machines, knowing how they act, I know what the bulbs can take, putting out, you know, a little more light, pushing the lumen of the bulbs.
Okay. Yeah.
Shelf life. How long have you been doing it? How long have you been changing bulb leader?
That's a loaded question. The way I deal with it, I test every bulb I get in. All the bulbs I burn in for 15 minutes. They're supposed to last, some people say 100,000 hours, some say 50,000 hours. Nobody knows. It's all theoretical. They can die in 5 minutes after putting them in, just like some people see them. But that's why I burn mine in. And, you know, I keep it as a, the deals I have, anything that I get a failure goes back. Because, you know, they guarantee them to me. I take advantage of that and I pass it on. But I would say a typical filament bulb is going to last you between 1,500 and 2,000 hours, if you get that much out of it. In an LED, at least 30,000 hours. I have my demo man, I have not replaced a bulb in it yet. It's been going 4 years. And that was with the early ones, you know, without really going deep and designing them and trying to get the caps in them and stuff like that. With the higher end bulbs that burn a lot brighter, that we're still tweaking that, but I still test them before they go out. And I warranty them for a year, so just to make sure everybody's happy. Any other questions? Go ahead. Between 50 cents up to $3. Like the higher end bulbs I'm working on, since they're, I don't have them in full production. I get them in batch orders of 100 to make sure they're right. I test them, see if they're going to be right, and then I increase trying to get the prices down. It takes time, and again, this isn't my primary job. It's a hobby business. As everybody says, you don't make money in pinball. You know, everything just kind of gets cycled back into having machines or trying to make it right. I'm trying to get the price down. Like I said, I've been for 4 years. When I first started buying the LEDs from the other things, they were $6-7 a piece. My wife thought I was nuts, you know, trying to buy these. And I tried to find places where I could get them cheap, because I was buying from the automotive retailers and wholesalers in the U.S., trying to find what was right, until I hooked up with a U.S. guy who was doing automotive LEDs, but I would pass my designs through him. He was doing for automotive. But I would piggyback on his stuff and try to get it through, you know, the manufacturers. Then we had our differences, because his timelines were different than mine for things, so I ended up getting contact with his direct manufacturers and started moving through, you know, the matrix of people out there, just trying to get it done. So actually I have manufacturers contacting me every day, but unless they can build them the way I want, I don't even talk to them. So, because I, you know, specifics. Anything else? Go ahead.
Is there a way to minimize this strobing effect?
Yeah, depending on how you build it. Strobing's depending on how you build the bulb. If you put the full bridges in, if you put the caps in, to make them right, have the right, you know, light output so they actually react properly. Because if you look at an incandescent bulb, depending on the mode you have it in, it will strobe too. It just doesn't, you don't see it as much because it pulses slower. But it's there. Like if you're in track mode and you have power saving on, one way to get rid of it is turn power saving off in the later machines, and that goes away. But the newer 2X bulbs, 4XX bulbs actually react exactly like at certain light output the same way as the incandescents. Anything else?
Okay.
I've been in contact with them over the last 3 years. I've had phone conversations with Ray Tanzer, who's not there anymore. Gary's called me last March I was in Texas? I had a Lord of the Rings light lit up and an Elvis, and he called me like the next week. But when you tell them it's going to cost them another $150 for a machine, you know, and that's lighting everything in it, they were like, no. They didn't want to, you know, you don't hear anything past that, but everybody has their, you know, understanding how they want to do their marketing. So I saw ways where they could do it different ways for operators because of maintenance, because there's, you know, you put those in, the only thing you got to worry about mostly is the mechanicals. You know, you're not going to worry about bulbs anymore, which is going to cost you $50 to go change two bulbs because they want it done because that's on their site and they want it look nice. I've talked to him, some of the phone conversation I had with Ray about 2.5 years ago, we were on the phone for 8 hours talking about it, trying to do it right. They evaluated my bulbs and their machines. We went through all the different whites, trying to get them so we can minimize any effort on their part, putting them into, you know, because they, the way they do their assembly lines, they didn't want to have to play with the leads. They didn't want to have to, because that's what you get with some of the cheaper LEDs. You have to play with the leads to get them right because the bases aren't right, because they didn't tool them right. They're too thin, they're too not as wide, and it's a pain. My newer ones, I have newer ones which are plug and play, which took a while to get the tooling right, so they had to resize it, and that's why it took so many manufacturers to get the price right. But I tried. It's one of those things you pursue it until, you know, they say yes. But they've probably put it, I probably sold them about $1,000 worth of bulbs to evaluate. And at the one time they said my bulbs weren't bright enough for pinball use. That was the first item 2.5 years ago. And that's why I went out and made that bulb on the right, on the full right. Then I had that displayed last year at Chicago. You know, some people said it was too bright. That's what's in this machine here. So it can be done. It's just what they want to do. They wanted to put all white bulbs throughout the machine to make them work, which I told him that's, Ray knew that you couldn't do it that way, but the way they function in assembling, they don't want to have to make anything more complicated for the assembly line. They just want to plug and chug. So it all had to be AC bulbs. They all had to, you know, work that way.
Yes. Keith, you're tempted to think that there's such a thing as too bright in a bulb. There was an LNG game that had a white light down between the flippers. I think it was one of those two-player games. And it was blinding. I couldn't see the ball when it came out. So there is such a thing as too bright.
Yeah, there is. And that's why you have to do everything tastefully when you do it with LEDs. You can't – everybody has their own taste, too. So some games, I can't put these lights in there. So my scared stiff, the theme doesn't go for this type of light. You have to go with a warmer white. You have to get, you know, keep with the game. One of the first games I ever did was my junkyard. It was my test machine. And I have bulbs in there that are hellacious bright. And when we have tournaments at my house, when the group gets together every 2 weeks, come over, they call it seizure multi-ball when we play that game. Because it's those things go off, the flash, it just, they can't play it. I got used to playing it and then whip their ass on it, but everybody else can't play it. Yeah. But any other questions? How are we running on time? Okay. Well, thanks for your time. Come see us. Give me more.